Some people would say, what's the point looking back to the 1600s to men like Oliver Cromwell? Why go back in history to think about men like John Wesley, John Newton, John Knox, John Bunyan? What's the point of going back hundreds of years to think about these men? And they say, why not stay in the present and talk about things today and forget about centuries ago? Well, my response to someone who has that attitude is, what about the Jewish people? You see, the people of Israel, they don't just go back a few hundred years, they go back thousands of years. You think about the Passover. The Jewish people, the people of Israel, to this day, still celebrate and commemorate the Passover. How long ago is it from the Passover? Probably about 3,000 years, maybe 3,500 years. So there it is, you have the people of Israel, they go back thousands of years, so I don't think we should have any problem going back hundreds of years, a few hundred years. And we're going back tonight to the 1600s, to the days of Oliver Cromwell, and we want to think about Oliver Cromwell's text tonight, and it's found in Philippians chapter 4 and it's verse 13. Look at it with me. Turn again to Philippians 4 and verse 13, and here is the text that Oliver Cromwell looked to and found great encouragement in throughout his life. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Oliver Cromwell is known as the champion of Protestantism. And of course you know what a true Protestant is. A true Protestant protests against anything that's not found in the Bible. So I'm not ashamed to be known tonight as a Protestant, because it is a biblical term, it's a spiritual term, it's a Christian term. So many people today think it's a political term, and they say, oh, you shouldn't use that term, you should just refer to being a Christian, you should just call yourself a Christian. Well, I don't agree with that, because that word Protestant literally means that we protest against anything that the Word of God does not contain. And mind you, today there are many things being taught and proclaimed that are not found in the Word of God. There are many false systems today, supposedly Christian, and they're preaching and teaching doctrines that are not found in the Word of God, and we must protest. We have a duty to protest. Sad to say, there are very few believers today who are willing to protest. But Oliver Cromwell, he was a Protestant. He believed in the Word of God. He believed in salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone. And so he was known by many as the champion of Protestantism. He supported Christians and Protestants in many parts of Europe who were being persecuted at that time. He supported them. He sent supplies to them. He was also known as the Lord Protector of England, Scotland and Ireland. The Lord Protector. That is a term that simply means that he was the head of state. For 5 years, from 1653 until 1658, he was known as the Lord Protector. Basically, he was the king. Now, I know he wasn't called the king, but basically that was his position. He was the ruler of the nation. He was the leader of the nation during those days. He was also, of course, a member of parliament. He had a political career. But here's something very interesting. Before he became the Lord Protector, before he became an MP, he was a farmer. Some people say, oh, well, why do you talk about these highfalutin people like Cromwell and other people? There was nothing highfalutin, nothing high and haughty about men like Oliver Cromwell. He started off as a humble farmer. He started off as a very, very lowly man, a very humble man, very humble beginnings. Started off on a farm in St. Ives, England. And God took him from the farmyard. And the Lord had a plan for him, and he took him into politics, and then he took him to being leader of the nation. You see, the Lord often takes his men and his women from obscurity. Isn't that right? From some backwater. Somebody who's been faithfully serving the Lord away from the public eye. Away, as we would say, away in the back of nowhere. And the Lord says, I will use that man. I will use that woman. And so he took Oliver Cromwell from a very humble life, and he took him to the Houses of Parliament, and he took him to the very top position in the land. Whenever Cromwell's father died, he had to look after his mother and seven sisters. He often suffered from depression, or as it was known back then, melancholy. Many of the Lord's people suffer from depression. I think maybe next Sunday night, or some of these next Sunday nights, we're going to speak about William Cowper and his text. The great hymn writer, he was a man also who suffered from terrible depression. We could talk tonight about C.H. Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers. Again, a man who suffered from depression, from melancholy. He actually had to go to the south of France for his health's sake. But here we have Oliver Cromwell suffering from depression, and yet God greatly used him. If you have suffered from depression, God can use you. If you are suffering from depression, God can use you. Whenever you're in the very darkest valley, God can use you. Sometimes when we get discouraged, depressed, we're filled with melancholy, sometimes we think God could never use us. We think to ourselves that we're no use to the Lord. But actually, when we're in the darkest valley, down in the depths, God is using us. God can minister to others through us. So here we have this man, Oliver Cromwell, and he suffered from depression. He was a man who believed in civil rights, liberty. And that's what yesterday was all about, isn't it? 12th of July every year. 12th of July is a day when we should thank God for civil and religious liberty. There are people who want to take that liberty away from us today. You have heard, of course, this past week about the bakery in Belfast. We referred to it this morning. But there are those who want to take away the liberty of Christian businesses. But there are people who also want to take away the liberty of churches. They want to take away the liberty of individual believers. See, we still have civil and religious liberty today, and we should thank God for it. But please don't take it for granted, because it could very easily be taken away from us. There are dark forces at work today who want to take civil and religious liberty from us. But Oliver Cromwell, he was a man who believed in it. He was a man who fought for it. On one occasion, he encouraged the Jews to return to England. The Jews had fled England because of religious persecution, but Oliver Cromwell invited the Lord's ancient people, the Jewish people, to return to England, and he assured them and guaranteed them that they would have religious liberty. So this is the man that we're thinking about tonight, and the text of the man we're thinking about tonight. Of course, there's a famous story told about Cromwell. He was having his portrait painted, and the artist noticed that above one eyebrow, Cromwell had a wart. But the artist didn't paint the wart. And of course, at the end, Cromwell took the portrait, he looked at it, and he said, paint me as I am or not at all. Cromwell noticed the wart was missing from the portrait. Paint me as I am. Paint the wart or not at all. And that's the saying comes today from paint me warts and all. Tell the truth about them, warts and all. Of course, that's what the Bible does, by the way. The Bible presents men and women not as perfect, not as people who are up high on a pedestal without fault or failure, but the Bible presents Christians with the warts, warts and all. But thank God for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ covers all our failings and all our shortcomings. But let's get back to Oliver Cromwell. His text is Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Let me share with you some thoughts as we come to the end of tonight's service. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I want you to note the first three words in the verse. I can do. The Apostle Paul says, I can do. Paul was a man of action. I want you to grasp that tonight. He doesn't say, I can say, I can think. No, he says, I can do. Paul was a man who wanted to do something for Jesus Christ. He wanted to do something for his Savior. By the way, Oliver Cromwell was exactly the same. Both men were men of action. And that's what the Lord wants us to be. The Lord wants us to be men and women of action, to be people who don't just talk the talk, but people who walk the walk. People who don't just talk about serving the Lord. Oh, I'm going to do this for the Lord. I'm going to do that for the Lord. But the Lord just wants us to go and do it. There are people today, believers today, and my, I once heard them described as lemonade Christians. Have you ever come across a lemonade Christian? Lemonade fizzes up, doesn't it? You give it a bit of a shake and boy, the fizz comes to the top. Well, there's a lot of Christians and they fizz. They love to fizz and they love to make a great big fuss, and they'll talk about the great things they're going to do for the Lord, and but my, they huff and puff. But they never get round to doing whatever they were supposed to do. There's a lot of lemonade Christians today. You see, Paul and Oliver Cromwell, they weren't lemonade Christians. They just got on with it. I think it was D.L. Moody who said, I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And the something I can do for the Lord by the grace of God, I will do. Yes, we need to be people of action. But then you notice that the Apostle Paul, he goes on to say, I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. It would be arrogance just to say the first five words, I can do all things. Imagine if I stood up here tonight and said to you, I can do all things. My, you would say, what a proud individual he is. What a big head he is. Boasting that he can do all things. But you see, Paul doesn't leave it there. He says, I can do all things, yes. But it's through Christ. Through Christ. Paul realized that the only way that he could do the work of God and the will of God was through Christ. By the way, let me just qualify this statement. Whenever Paul said, I can do all things, he was not meaning that literally he could do whatever he wanted, and that whatever whim or notion he took, that God would give him the power to do it. That's not what it means. When it says I can do all things, it means all things that are in the will of God for me to do. Everything that God wants me to do, everything that God has planned for me to do, I can do those things. And the Lord will strengthen me. Christ will strengthen me to do those things. But please don't just think that it's some kind of blanket promise that whatever whim we take, whatever notion we take about doing something, oh, I'll just pray and God will give me the strength to do it. No, God has a plan for our lives. As individuals, He has a work for us to do. And it is that work and it is that plan that He will enable us to do. I can do all things through Christ. Paul experienced this. Oliver Cromwell experienced this. You see, we're really thinking here about the vine and the branches, isn't that right? You remember the Lord Jesus spoke about the vine and the branches in John chapter 15. And He said, except the branch abide in the vine, it can't produce fruit, and without me ye can do nothing. Only as the branch is connected to the vine will it produce fruit. Only as the branch is in union with the vine will it produce fruit. And you see, only as we are united to Christ and in union with Christ and in partnership with Christ, only then will we be fruitful. Only then will we be able to do the work that He has for us to do. I can do all things through Christ. I want you to notice how Paul finishes this verse. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The Lord Jesus Christ not only saves people, but He strengthens them. And the Lord Jesus not only saves the soul, but after He has saved the soul, He strengthens the soul. And He strengthened the Apostle Paul for all the sufferings and the hardships that he had to go through. And He strengthened Oliver Cromwell for all that he had to go through. And you see, tonight the promise is and the encouragement is that He will strengthen you and me for whatever we have to go through. You don't know, and I don't know, what we're going to face this week. But there's one thing we do know. Christ will strengthen us. The Lord Jesus will strengthen us for whatever this week will bring to us. Whatever will come along life's pathway this week, we can be sure of one thing, that the same Savior, the same Messiah, the same Anointed One who strengthened Paul and Oliver Cromwell and all the Christians down through the ages, He's the same person who will strengthen us in our individual circumstances this week. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. My, what strength the Lord Jesus Christ has. The strength we're thinking about tonight is the strength that spoke this universe into existence. The strength we're thinking about tonight is the strength that divided the Red Sea. The strength we're thinking about tonight is the strength that divided the River Jordan. The strength we're thinking about tonight is the strength that kept Daniel's three friends safe in the burning fiery furnace. The strength we're thinking tonight about is the strength that kept Daniel in the lion's den. The strength we're thinking about tonight is the strength of none other than Christ Himself. This is the same strength that is available to us. And the strength we're thinking about tonight is the strength that blacked out the sun, Calvary's cross. As the Lord Jesus bled and died on the cursed tree, the Bible tells us that there was darkness over all the earth. And it was the strength of Christ that blocked out the sun, that brought down the darkness, because He's the great Creator. The strength we're thinking about tonight, the strength that He promises to give to us as His people, is the strength that divided the veil of the temple. Do you remember, it tells us, Matthew 27:51, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. By the way, that's very interesting. It wasn't torn from the bottom to the top. You see, if the Bible had said that it was from the bottom to the top, skeptics would say today, oh sure, it was just some of the priests in the temple took hold of the veil and they pulled it themselves and tore it themselves. But it was the Lord who tore the veil in two by His strength, because it was from the top. The rip started at the top of that great curtain, 30 feet high. Commentators would say that if you had one horse at one side of the veil, another horse on the other side, and you tied the veil to the horses, and they went in different directions, they couldn't have torn it. It was so strong. It was made of such strong fabric. But the Lord, He displayed His strength and tore the veil in two. You see, the strength we're thinking about tonight is the strength that caused the rocks to rend. As Jesus died, the whole creation groaned. The rocks were broken in pieces, and the Bible tells us that those who had died in Christ came out of the graves. My, what a sight that must have been. Whenever Jesus said, "It is finished," and He said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," and He gave up the ghost and died. And then all of a sudden you had these people who were dead coming out of the graves. It was the strength of Christ. And this is the strength that He gave to Paul. This is the strength that He gave to Oliver Cromwell. And this is the strength that He will give to you and to me. See, we need strength to live the Christian life. There are 101 things to discourage us tonight, as individual believers and as a church. I'm telling you, there's 101 things just waiting outside that door to discourage us. And you get plenty of people, there's enough people today, even Christians, and boy, they'll throw a bucket of cold water on you. When you get any enthusiasm and you're encouraged, you can be assured that some old professor will come along and he'll put a wet blanket on it and try to discourage you, take the wind out of your sails. So we need strength just to persevere, to keep going. And we have that promise of strength. The Lord Jesus says that He will strengthen us. We will be able to do all things because He strengthens us. We will be strengthened to endure all the trials of the Christian life. All the trials. You see, Oliver Cromwell had great trials to go through. One of the greatest trials, one of the greatest tragedies of his life was when his eldest son died at the age of 18. Only 18 years of age, and Oliver Cromwell was left heartbroken. But he said that Philippians chapter 4 verse 13 was the only thing that kept him going. To use his own words, he said, "This verse saved my life." He was at the end of his tether. He had reached the end of the road, as it were, and he was like Jonah and Moses and Elijah. He just felt like taking his own life, and he wanted God to take his life away. But then Philippians 4:13 came to him, and he held on to it. Even during those days of bereavement, those days of trial, You know, whenever we go through bereavement and sorrow and other trials, we can be sure that the Lord Jesus will strengthen us to endure those trials. I'm sure we've all heard by now of the terrible tragedy yesterday off the coast of Donegal, the Reverend Jones, Stuart Jones. That awful tragedy, so sad. Whenever I heard about it this morning, I couldn't believe it. Such a freak accident. There you have a minister, a clergyman. And nobody thought this was going to happen. I'm sure his congregation never thought it was going to happen. I'm sure his wife and his family never imagined that this would happen. They never imagined that they'd be laying their loved one to rest. And that family and that congregation and I suppose that whole village of Donemana tonight is in mourning. Trials do come. Valleys do come. By the way, we should pray for that family. We need to pray for those people tonight. We need to keep them in our thoughts and prayers. But it is good to know for those who are saved, those who are born again, that the Lord Jesus promises his strength whenever we go through the trials. Yes, the Savior promises to strengthen us so that we will be able to endure the trials, but he says that he will strengthen us so that we'll be able to perform the duties. Not only to endure all trials, but to perform all duties. Whatever duties, whatever responsibilities we have to perform this incoming week, the Lord Jesus says, I will strengthen you for it. There are duties at home. There are duties in the workplace. There are duties in the church. And sometimes we say with Paul, I know I have often said it and I have often thought it, who is sufficient for these things? So often we feel inadequate for the duties that God gives us to do, to perform. The Lord promises that with the duty will come the strength. So whatever you have to face this week, whether you're dreading it or whether you're looking forward to it, the Lord Jesus says, I will strengthen thee. So here's the encouragement with the words of the hymn writer, to the work, to the work. We are servants of God, let us follow the path that our Master has trod with the balm of his counsel, our strength to renew. Let us do with our might what our hands find to do. Toiling on, toiling on, toiling on, toiling on. Let us hope, let us watch, and labor till the Master comes.